T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's begin with obviously the biggest one this week, really, and that's Denzel Ward. What is his status for the game?
Well, good news. He was able to practice today, albeit limited. He told us after practice that his, you know, he was on monitored reps today, but the fact that he was out there is very good news, especially with Julio Jones coming to town. There's no question about that. I expect if he does practice tomorrow, which he told us he expects to, that means he will play on Sunday. So some positive news for the secondary for a change.
Right. That is good news with E.J. Gaines going on IR and Mitchell already on IR. What about Demaryius Randle? What's his status?
It's looking like he's going to be able to play. Randle today, limited again, but that's been par for the course for him when he has not had to go see a doctor for his groin injury. So he, too, I expect to play Sunday.
All right, a linebacker. We know Christian Kirksey now gone. He's on IR, but Joe Schobert's been back this week. Is he going to play?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow, okay. That's big.
I don't think they have a choice at this point. I mean, if he's able to practice, even if he's limited in practice, that you need all the help you can get at this point. So I anticipate that that Schobert is going to play, even though, again, he's been limited both Wednesday and Thursday in practice.
All right. I forget anybody else? Any other injuries?
I don't know. There's like 18 guys on the injury report
this
week. Is
there really?
So bad radio, but I'm showing Bull right now this week's injury report from the Cleveland Browns. There's 13 names on there.
All right, so the only one who didn't practice today is Treader, who's been banged up for a while.
And he's on the same schedule. He's in the walking boot until Friday when he practices. Then they put him back in the boot to get him ready for Sunday. He'll play again on Sunday, and then we'll continue to go through this cycle. I think it's incredible that he has been able to play, Bull, through this. He told us it is a high ankle sprain, and as we know, those are not only very painful injuries, they are very they're very difficult injuries to heal. So those are typically 4 to 6 week injuries.
All right, the other limited guys that are of note: Jamie Collins, Harrison, Njoku. Are those guys all going to play? Is Harrison going to start, or is Greg Robinson going to start?
I think right now they're leaning toward Robinson, just trying to read between the lines.
They won't give me an answer.
Yeah, Greg's not tipping anything, but it was interesting that Freddie Kitchens, when he was asked today about Robinson's performance, he says, well, we'll need him to play like he played last week. So, if you're asking me, I think they stick with Robinson. And Harrison getting sick last Friday basically gave Greg Williams the opening to make a change there.
As for the Falcons, they don't have a lot of guys in the report. They lost like 3 or 4 key defensive guys early in the season who've been out for a while, but nobody that's been playing is going to. I know Sanu's listed as limited. I was on with an Atlanta radio station today. They told me he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's the only guy of note on their injury report.
Yeah,
he's
going to play. The Falcons went through early in the season what the Browns are going through right now.
Well, they got three guys on IR, of their best players.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. What the Browns are going through, they've already been through it. So, but they're a hot team right now. They come in having won 3 straight. We know where the Browns are at. We know what the Browns have gone through. The good news is I think obviously the weather is going to benefit the Browns. I think that gives them a little bit of an advantage, the fact that, the Falcons have to come up from the comforts of their dome to play in what is forecast to be temperatures in the upper 30s, lower 40s, and maybe a little chance of some snow.
I didn't realize there was a chance of snow on Sunday. The cold,
Oh, come on, Bull. You know those Southern Dome teams don't like playing temperatures below 48 degrees now.
Doesn't it depend on some of the individual players, though?
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. The Falcons are one of the few teams that historically the Cleveland Browns have beaten on a regular basis. Two of the Yeah, I remember
the last Mike Pettine win of the 7-9. The last win of the 7-9 season was against the Falcons.
It was
in a game that Mike Smith poorly coached, bad clock management. The Browns improved to 7-5 in that game.
7-4.
7-4, right?
That was Josh Gordon's. I wrote about it yesterday because Joel Bitonio now is the only active player. Christian Kirksey's still here, but Bitonio is the only guy on the active roster that played in that game. Remember, Bitonio had the key tackle chase down when they kicked the 60-yard field goal that was short. And it got returned all the way to the 35. Devin Hester.
Devin Hester, right.
And Bitonio saved the day by tackling.
That would be a touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, and so it kept the Browns within one at halftime. And then, of course, they had the two.
The kicker, I think, slowed him up, if I remember. And then Bitonio came from behind.
And then Bitonio came out of nowhere and made the saving tackle. But Billy Cundiff kicked the 37-yard game-winning field goal as time expired. Everyone in the locker room, they're thinking they're talking about playoffs.
And
all those type of things. And who would have thought the Cleveland Browns have won six games since that exhilarating win? And, of course, all the way back in 2002, the Browns beat the Falcons on December 29th. It was their ninth victory, but it was good enough. They got the help they needed. They got them into the playoffs. That was the run, William, run.
Yeah,
game.
Right.
William Green, 65-yard fourth-quarter touchdown run, his second of the day. So the Browns have – that just goes to show you how – few meaningful football games this franchise has played because I can remember games like that like they're yesterday.
Right.
Because they're in a lot worth remembering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least from a positive standpoint. I remember a lot of ugly losses. But, you know, when you talk about those type of wins, so, you know, maybe they can beat the Falcons Sunday and that becomes the big franchise turnaround for the Browns since the last time they played them, the franchise went into the great abyss of losing and
The problem is, on paper, it's still a really bad matchup.
Absolutely.
It really is. And the reality is, you know, we always talk about, oh, the Browns had this close loss. Well, the Falcons had a bunch of close losses, too, and they're 4-4, not two wins. The only time they played really poorly was against the Steelers. They lost to the Bengals on a last-second play.
Yep.
You know, hey, listen, your record is what he is. I say it for the Browns all the time. But if we're going to say, oh, close games. But anyway. They have won three in a row.
Well, the Browns have not played close games in two of their last three games.
That's true.
Let's kind of balance that out a little bit here.
You look at the Falcons' passing game, and they have obviously Julio Jones, who's a top five wide receiver. Calvin Ridley's the best rookie wide receiver in the league this year.
By the way, not to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead.
You believe that Julio Jones only has one touchdown?
He just got it last week,
and I know. But can you – it's for a guy that's caught 60 passes and almost has 1,000 yards receiving to think that he's not gotten into the end zone.
The only reason I know that is because I'm a fantasy nerd.
He's on your fantasy team.
No, he's not on my fantasy team, but I pay attention to these things. He only had like two or three touchdowns last year, I think.
Yeah.
It's been bizarre. Like
he gets his yards between the 20s, but then the red zone,
they
don't
find him. They throw to him in the red zone, but for some reason he doesn't get a touchdown. It's bizarre. But you look at their targets. Calvin Ridley is a tremendous young player. Mohamed Sanu is just a good, solid veteran second.
You
third
still downer. Love him from his Bengals days.
Yeah, but he's not great, but he's a good, solid player. Austin Hooper is an underrated tight end. He's a good player.
Yes, he is. And what do we know about tight ends in the Browns' defense?
Big trouble. And Tevin Coleman is kind of like a Duke Johnson type of player in terms of he's a good.
And they know how to use him.
Right. He's a good pass-catching running back.
But you know what? As I say that now that Haley's out and Hugh's out, I think that Freddie Kitchens knows how to use Duke.
They used Duke better last week.
Hopefully. Absolutely.
And by the way, from a Browns perspective, the Falcons are the worst team in the NFL in terms of passing yard or receiving yards allowed by running backs.
Right.
I think they've given up over 700 yards.
Which means that Duke Johnson should be able to
feast. To me, this is
Sunday.
Even a bigger Duke game than a Chubb game because actually the Falcons have not been terrible against the run, but they've been terrible against running backs catching a pass. They've been the worst team in football. So I think it's a big Baker Mayfield game and a big Duke Johnson game. If they're going to win, they're going to have to throw the ball a ton, I think.
Yeah.
Not that you're not going to run Nick Chubb at all, don't get me wrong, but I think they're going to have you're going to have a slugfest in the air to win this game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And you know, it was interesting listening to Greg Williams' comments today about Baker when he was asked, you know, what's the next step for him, and he said, "Well, he just needs to cut it loose. Don't worry about making mistakes. We got your back. You just got to cut it." And I found those comments to be interesting, and that also, I think, peels back the curtain a little bit to what they're telling him behind the scenes and what they want him to do. They don't want him to maybe be as conservative as he's been. Now, I'll say this about Baker. In the last three games, His completion percentage has gone up significantly. He's in the last three games, he's completing over 67% of his passes. His touchdown to interception ratio is 6 touchdowns to 2 picks, which is a dramatic improvement from when he first started out.
Yeah.
The sacks are down. He's been sacked twice in each of the last two games, whereas in the three previous games, they nailed him 5 times each, 15 times over a three-week period. He's been sacked a total of 22 times this season. So they're obviously looking for him, Bull, to really get aggressive offensively. And, you know, whether it's taking shots deeper down the field, whether it's throwing into tighter windows, I thought that those were some pretty revealing yet interesting comments that came from Greg Williams today in regards to what they're looking for from Baker.
Yeah, it's true. It made you wonder. Also, when I heard those comments, I was wondering Baker's confidence down a little bit. Is that why he had to kind of give him a pep talk?
Well, and the interesting thing is Freddie Kitchens then was asked about what Greg had said. And Kitchens, you know, made a comment to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the effect of, well, you can't play that position scared, and I don't think, you know, Baker's ever done that. However, you also have to have a very short-term memory. The great quarterbacks can go out there. They can throw 4 interceptions 1 week and come back the next week and just tear a team apart, because they don't allow what just happened,
right,
you know, to affect them going forward. And again, it's interesting that, you know, that was said. You know, is that something that, you know, Kitchens has noticed about Baker? Are they concerned a little bit that not only is Baker maybe a little too conservative, not aggressive enough, and maybe he's, you know, worried a little too much about mistakes or the mistakes that he has made, or, you know, throws that he has missed or reads that he didn't see? So I found those comments today to be really, really interesting, and I'm curious to see how Mayfield responds Sunday afternoon.
By the way, to your other point about the sacks, how he took less sacks, and the Chiefs were a good pass rushing team coming in. They were like, I think, top two or three.
But that's why I brought it up.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because they're one of the better pass rush teams.
But this week, not the case. The Falcons are tied for 27th in the NFL. They've only gotten to the quarterback 17 times in 8 games.
And that's why I think they're going to stick with Greg Robinson at left tackle. A, Greg Williams knows him from his time with the Rams. And B, when they went back and they watched the tape, they liked what they saw. I mean, he didn't play a perfect game. Don't get me wrong. There were still a couple items, you know, a couple miscommunications or whatever. But overall, they really liked what they saw on tape from him. And, you know, a couple of the players that I talked to in the locker room this week, they feel like that's a reps thing, that if he's getting the reps and he's out there, that the issues that took place on Sunday with the miscommunications and that solves itself. So that's why I really believe that they're going to lean towards having Robinson at left tackle again this week.
All right, Darren, we come back. We got to talk about, you know, Hugh Jackson's media tour continued this week. What was the reaction from inside Berea? We'll get to that. We are in Berea at Suds McGuire's. We'll be here for another hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.